We will attempt to speak about Lord Krishna's Damodar Leela, highlighting just a few of the infinite aspects. Om Agena Timidandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshun Militamyena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. First, what shall we take a look at? Namo Mishradam Satchit Ananda Rup. We're going to talk about the Supreme Ishwar. First, we make that clear so that no one has any doubts or no one is plagued by hallucinations of mythology. Make no mistake about it from the very beginning of this prayer, this eternal prayer that emanated through the mouth of Sri Satyavrata Muni. There's no doubt from the very beginning we are dealing with the Supreme Controller. But that Supreme Controller is playing like the child of Mother Yashoda. In this way, performing human-like pastimes, Naralila, that so captivate the devotees. These childhood pastimes are special for Krishna's leelas that he stages while touring the material worlds. This pastime began with a conflict in prioritization. Those of you in the management world know that it happens. There is a contesting of priorities. Who could question Mother Yashoda's motives? Often devotees like to talk about someone's motives, their motivation, how we have to be careful of our own motivation, and also be careful to appreciate the sincere motivations of other devotees, even when they do things we don't understand. So, motivation is very important in bhakti. And as we become more advanced devotees, we become more expert at dealing with sincere motivation, even when the external manifestation or external circumstances of that motivation seem confusing or bewildering. Just like when Srila Prabhupada was on Second Avenue during the early days, he was giving a lecture and some very smelly, dirty bum alcoholic walks in and makes a presentation to Srila Prabhupada, a grand presentation of a roll of toilet paper. So the devotees were thinking, what is, get this guy out of here. But as he approached Srila Prabhupada, he devotedly presented his roll of toilet paper, and Srila Prabhupada commented, his devotional service has begun. So, Mother Yashoda's motivation. Why was she churning butter? Because she was concerned. Her little boy keeps going to others' houses and stealing milk products. So that would imply, because we're going to discuss later, if I remember, that Mother Yashoda has maternal pride, which is devoid of any material contamination. So she's thinking, is there something wrong with the milk products in my home? So, in discussing various aspects of this leela, we'll be mixing perspectives given by Srila Prabhupada, Srila Kavi Karnapur, and Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. Krishna's pastimes are eternal. They're always going on. This Damodar Leela is always happening. So the acharyas, because they're seeing in real time these pastimes, they comment on different aspects. So, Mother Yashoda decided that she would tactfully arrange that her maid servants do other household duties rather than prepare this butter for Krishna. She did it herself, and as you know, she had in Nanda Maharaj's herd of cows, there were special cows that gave specially flavored milk because they ate special grasses, and so she was going to take that specially flavored milk and prepare butter for her son, who was fond of stealing butter. It is not simply that Krishna's pastimes of dancing with the gopis are confidential. Even his pastimes of stealing butter can easily be misunderstood. A deep understanding is required. And in fact, we may also discuss tonight, if not tonight, tomorrow, how this Damodar Leela is actually a difficult pastime to understand. To devotees, it comes apparently easily, but to non-devotees, it's very bewildering. Even Lord Brahma, even Indra, they become bewildered by Krishna's childhood pastimes. Therefore, Indra attacked Vrindavan with the Samvartika clouds. Brahma took away, he thought, the calves and cowherd boys. It's not that they're atheists, but they are thinking, can this little blue boy be our worshipable Lord? So as Mother Yashoda was churning the yogurt into butter, what was she thinking of? Srila Kavi Karnapur says, she was thinking of the enchanting face of the butter thief. And she was creating such a beautiful sight as she churned. She was becoming drenched with devotional perspiration. This is a commodity of the spiritual world. Devotional perspiration. Perspiration composed of Satchidananda. And as she was churning flowers would fall from her hair, jewels would fall from her hair, peacock feathers would fall from her hair as the knot in her hair became untied. And this falling of the jewels, peacock feathers, and flowers from her hair is compared to the beauty of falling stars shooting through the night sky. It's a beautiful metaphor. While she's churning, Krishna is resting in another room. And he wakes up hungry. Now, right here and there, we have a major theological issue. The Supreme Absolute Truth in need? Isn't Krishna Om Purnam, perfect and complete? But he's doing these pastimes for no other reason than Ananda Chinmayarasa, his own tasting of the loving exchanges between the devotees and him. There's no other reason. There's no other cause. He's already full in himself. He's already perfect and complete. Still, why not do this? That is super excellence. I already have everything, but why not do this? I don't need anything, but why not do this? You may say, but why? Why not? Why should I not steal butter? Why should you have a problem with it? So, he wakes up, and he goes to where his mother is churning, and he grabs the churning rod. That's it. That's enough. You have your priority, but I have another priority. I'm hungry. The acharyas say that as he grabbed the rod, he spoke threateningly to Mother Yashoda. Either you feed me, or I get a stone and break the butter pot. So, Mother Yashoda was very happy to feed him. Feeding Krishna meant staring into his face. unlimited beauty. So as she's feeding Krishna, as you know, the milk on the stove begins to boil over. And so she puts Krishna down to tend to that boiling milk. So here, although everything is happening in pure love of Krishna, everything is happening 100% only for Krishna's pleasure. Still, Krishna decides there's a problem here. We've got an issue. Why has my mother put me down when I have not satisfied myself? I have not had enough milk yet. So, little Krishna knows just what to do. It is time for a temper tantrum. A temper tantrum that has captivated devotees since time immemorial, because these pastimes have no beginning or end. Think of Krishna, little Krishna, Bal Gopal, angry with false tears in his eyes. That is a particular shakti of little children. They can suddenly just fill their eyes with false tears to make a point. What else did Krishna do? You can mimic it yourself. He pressed his teeth together, then his lips together, and then he bit his lip in anger. His lips were red, his eyes were red with anger. He was really working himself up, tasting this nectar of being angry at Mother Yashoda, feeling neglected. So he decided to cause an incident. He saw a rock nearby, and he took it and he smashed the butter pot. And the contents of the butter pot just drained all over the floor. It made the floor white and very slippery. And then what did Krishna do? Two emotional states at once. Fear and playfulness. Fearing yet playfully. It's hard to understand those two together, but Krishna can do it. He's fearing Mother Yashoda because he's going to do mischief, but also he's playing freely. So he just started tracking, walking through the whole mess there of yogurt covering that floor. And then he decided to go, he'll go to other rooms in the house. And in one of those rooms in the house, and bear in mind, he's walking and tracking footprints through the whole house. So he gets to a room and he looks in, and there are many pots of churned butter. Krishna knows just what to do. He starts smashing all the pots. And then he takes one pot of butter and goes to another place and starts distributing in charity to the monkeys and the little children. He's doing like that, and he's looking around fearfully because he knows he's making mischief. Mother Yashoda returns from the stove, and she sees this mess, the whole floor just covered white and slippery. And she tries to understand, what happened? What happened? Then she sees the rock, and she puts one plus one together. Krishna took this rock, and he broke the butter pot. She actually, at that point, you can feel her maternal emotions in Vatsalya Prem. She wanted to console Krishna. Why do you feel so bad that I put you down? I'm sorry. Where are you? Let me console you. She was feeling like that. But where was Krishna? She had to search him out. It was rather easy to search Krishna out. There was no complex detective work required. Because of the footprints. So she followed those blissful footprints. And there she came upon Krishna, handing out the butter to the children and monkeys. So Mother Yashoda tried to sneak up on him, and she had a stick in her hand. She actually, her plan was she would just apprehend Krishna suddenly from behind. But Krishna was going to make the lila sweeter and sweeter. He was watching over his shoulder, and before she could get him, he jumped down from the mortar for grinding spices, and he started running. And Mother Yashoda started running after him. Now, we have to really focus on this situation because it is so pregnant with the deepest tattva, the deepest understandings. Here is Mother Yashoda chasing Krishna, who cannot be caught by the greatest yogis, the greatest meditators. Lord Brahma says, Pantas Dukoti Shatavatsara Sampragamya Vayuratapi Manaso Munipungavana. Whether you go at the speed of wind or the speed of mind, you can't catch even the tip of the toes of Krishna. Yet Mother Yashoda is trying to capture him. She's chasing Krishna with a stick. You greatest of cheaters! You greatest of cheaters! And Krishna's running and running. Stop, stop, stop. Stand where you are. Krishna yells back, just put the stick down. Just put the stick down. Put it down. Mother Yashoda retorts, if you're so afraid of my stick, why did you steal the butter? Why did you cause this mess? All the while Krishna's running and running. And finally, Krishna's enough distance ahead of her. He stops and pleads with her, just put the stick down, please, put the stick down. And Mother Yashoda is advancing, and Krishna takes off again. And she's running after him. Stop, stop, stop. Krishna then makes a deal as he's running. Look, if you put the stick down, I will stop, and I'll even come to you. So Mother Yashoda stopped and put the stick down. And then Krishna came to her. Now it's time for a big scene. And Krishna knows exactly what to do. He knows exactly what this situation requires for deepening the transcendental mellows. He's crying and crying and crying. His whole body is shaking. He's really getting into it. This is described in Dhammadharastika. His whole body is shaking with sobs. He's doing that on purpose, making his pearl necklace shake. And the black ointment around his eyes is running from his tears. And Krishna, with his hands that are like lotus flowers, the palms of his hands are like lotus flowers, he's rubbing his eyes, and therefore he's smearing the black ointment all over his face. Mother Yashoda, when she put the stick down, she was thinking in terms of maternal psychology about how to raise a child. If this boy is too afraid of me, it's not good. A little boy shouldn't be afraid of his mother. But I have to train him. I have to discipline him. He is my son. So Krishna starts speaking in broken words, indistinct words, which are so charming and so attractive. He's trying to slip out of being punished. So he's speaking like that, childish words. You may remember, if you were older in your family with a younger child, how the adults get so fascinated by the broken talk of children. So Krishna, he tried that one. And then He started crying again so pathetically that even his intimate cowherd boyfriends like Subal also all started crying. They're presenting such a scene to Mother Yashoda. Krishna has a whole crying team together just to avoid being chastised. So Mother Yashoda is thinking what to do next. She's thinking not so much about punishment now, but she's thinking that Krishna is so restless, he may run off to the forest. So therefore she wants to bind him to make sure he doesn't get into any more mischief. So you know how the situation happens. She gets a rope and puts it around Krishna's waist. And as you know, the rope is two fingers too short. One rope after another. Soon she has exhausted all the ropes in her house. And then she asks the elder gopis, okay, bring all the ropes from your house, your houses. So they're just joining rope after rope after rope. What is Krishna doing? He's having fun with his vibhutis, his opulences of power and immeasurability. Why should anyone think that they can get a rope around Krishna? As Shukadeva Goswami points out, Krishna, the Supreme Absolute Truth, has no beginning or end. How do you get a rope around someone who has no beginning or end? And what kind of medium are you operating in? Because with Krishna, who is beyond time, there's no question of the divisions of past, present, and future. So how do you do step one, step two, step three? That's all time. But Krishna's beyond time. So again, how is Mother Yashoda going to get the rope around Krishna? Krishna wants to show that unless I agree, I can't be bound. Now let's go back a little bit when Krishna's chasing Mother Yashoda. One thing Srila Prabhupada points out, actually, Krishna was already caught. He's eternally caught by Mother Yashoda. So the running was just, it's pure Leela. He can't get away from Mother Yashoda. He's eternally captured by Mother Yashoda. So she's chasing him, but she already has him. Let's meditate on that. He's already caught, eternally caught by Mother Yashoda. Now she wants to bind him. And it's taking all the ropes she can find, not only in her house, but other gopis' houses. And they're looking on, watching her, laboring. And they're starting to smile. Oh, this boy is special. Mother Yashoda's smiling too, but she has the maternal determination. I'm going to do what's best for my boy. I have to discipline him. I have to train him. That is my duty. So after she got all the ropes from the other gopis' houses, and still the whole combination of ropes was two fingers too short, she sat down on the ground. Srila Kavi Kanarpur says that. She sat down on the ground and trying to think, what's going on here? And again, the elder gopis are watching and smiling. But Mother Yashoda has such determination. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, her determination was, I don't care if I have to stay here all day until night comes. I'm binding this boy. But she was getting so fatigued. Her muscles becoming so exhausted. Of course, she has no material body, so this is all just Leela. These are all just pastimes. Krishna then decides, all right, I'll change the situation. Instead of showing my immeasurable strength, my immeasurable characteristics, I'll be merciful. He wanted to be compassionate because his mother was becoming fatigued. So then he agreed. All right, I'll allow myself to be bound. But remember, he's not exactly bound by Mother Yashoda. He's bound by her love. In the bhakti relationship, there's Krishna, there's the devotee, but there's also Krishna's energy for increasing the attraction of the devotee for Krishna and Krishna for the devotee. Now that Krishna's bound, Mother Yashoda disappears into her private quarters. She instructed the cowherd boys that don't let him untie the knot, because she didn't want her son running into the forest. What does Krishna think? He says, number one, I was not sufficiently fed and my mother put me down. Number two, all I was doing was simply giving charity, giving butter to the monkeys. My mother's chasing me with a stick in her hand. Therefore, what's the conclusion? Number three, even though I'm bound to this grinding mortar, it is time to do something more mischievous than I've ever done before. So at that moment, he's looking at the Yamala Arjun trees. That's another aspect. We won't discuss that tonight. But we want to recall the emphases given by Shukadeva Goswami. He wants us to understand fully the unlimited depths of this pastime in terms of what it means that Krishna is coming under the control of his devotee. He gives several examples. First of all, he says, Krishna controls Brahma. Krishna controls Shiva. He controls Indra. Yet, here we see he's coming under the control of his devotee. We're meant to think about that. Krishna wants to emphasize that he can only be obtained by bhakti. Through this pastime, he's underlining that point again and again and again that he makes in Bhagavad Gita, Bhakchamam Abhijanati. He's sending a message while exchanging love with Mother Yashoda. He's also sending a message to all gyanis, all yogis, look, you'll never get this the way you are endeavoring. That same Krishna, whose Paramatma expansion is the Lord of everyone's heart, he's coming under the control of Mother Yashoda, sending out this message loud and clear. Not only about how he comes under the control of his devotee's love, but also he's broadcasting the super excellent position of Mother Yashoda, especially in contrast to any gyani, any yogi. I saw an interesting example of how understanding the microcosm can help us understand the macrocosm if we have guidance. So Srila Prabhupada always pointed out to us that you can see in a minute degree in living entities characteristics that Krishna has unlimitedly. Generally speaking, you can see such characteristics in the drop that you find in the whole ocean. Although you'll find you'll find these characteristics in the drop to a limited degree. So I was at the airport once in Melbourne, Australia, and I was sitting at the gate waiting for the flight to board. There were about 80 people waiting for this flight. And seated across from me was a very wealthy, well-to-do looking man, dressed casually, but you could tell he was moneyed. And he had his family with him, his wife, and looked like a 4 or 5 year old daughter. So the man was sitting down, and then the girl, little girl, got up and she pointed to the floor. "Down, Daddy, down!" And he would just fall out of the seat onto the floor. And he'd get up and sit down again. And again, the little girl would say, "Down, Daddy, down!" And he would just fall off the chair onto the floor. And he did this about 10 times, the little girl did that. And each time he would fall on the floor. And everyone is watching. And you could see people were, they got pleasure from this, watching how this father was demonstrating that he's coming under the control of his little daughter. So I could see that even in the material world, there's a perverted pleasure, distorted pleasure, in being conquered by someone's love. No matter how temporary it is, still there's something there. And just think, in Krishna's pastimes, there's no material contamination. Krishna's showing in this interaction with Mother Yashoda, what is his real pleasure? He's not interested in simply being the controller. He wants that his devotees become trustworthy enough that he'll agree to come under their control. His parents will chastise him, his friends will climb on his shoulders, and his fiancées will be angry with him for not giving enough attention or not giving attention in the right way to the right person at the right time. So Krishna is showing, this is where I'm really at. Simultaneously, he's broadcasting messages so that everyone understands. And Shukadeva Goswami highlights those points. Everyone should understand a few things. And indeed, Srila Prabhupada points out, this pastime is difficult to understand for non-devotees. They may just think it's some cute little story. But to penetrate to the depths requires guidance. So we can think tonight. Let's not take it for granted. Let's think. This is a difficult to understand pastime. So Shukadeva Goswami states three times, Nale Bhire, what Mother Yashoda got can't be obtained by anyone else. Not even Brahma, the original scholar of the universe, Adi Kavi. Not even Bhava, Lord Shiva. He can't get this. Not even Lakshmi Devi, who's like half of the Lord's body. She renders service in that way. None of them can get the prasad, the mercy that Yashoda Mai got. Besides giving lessons to the gyanis and yogis, as Satyavrata Muni points out in the Dhammadharastic prayer, Krishna is also teaching something to the Vaikuntha devotees. That even his majesty and opulence in Vaikuntha can compare to his Vrindavan Leelas. The sweetness of the Vrindavan Leelas. Iti driksalila bir ananda kunde. That sweetness drowned the inhabitants of Vrindavan in pools of liquid ecstasy. These leelas, swalila, they're Krishna's own intimate personal stock of pastimes. So tomorrow we'll speak more of the, a few more of the unlimited aspects of this pastime. Are there any questions?
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Thank you, Maharaj, for a wonderful class. When Lord Krishna appeared, or before he appeared, in the prison of Kamsa, all the devas, headed by Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva, offered prayers to Krishna within the womb, where they're very clearly showing that they understand. You know, and even they're saying to Devaki, "This is, don't be afraid. This is the Supreme Lord. He's coming, and he's going to sort out all the problems for you and everyone else." So then, when it comes to Indra's pastime and Lord Brahma's pastime, where Indra, you know, sends the rains, and where Lord Brahma steals the coward boys, I find it seems like strange to me that. In the beginning, they very clearly understand who this is, but then it seems like they forgot or something.
They didn't forget. It's just that Krishna's childhood pastimes are so sweet and simple that they had doubts, or they in the case of Brahma, Srila Prabhupada says that Brahma decided to do a little empirical science. Is this little blue boy my worshipful lord? I don't know. Let me make a scientific test. He wanted to apply his Brahma IIT knowledge. We have many Brahmas here from IIT who now rest their golden helmets at Krishna's lotus feet. So Brahma just wanted to make a straightforward scientific test. Is this my worshipful lord, this little blue boy? What was the scene particularly that Brahma saw? Krishna eating lunch with the cowherd boys on the bank of the Yamuna. Is this the Supreme Ishwar? Krishna, his... In the palm of his hand, he had various foodstuffs, fruit, yogurt. The scene looked so unlimitedly beautiful in simplicity and childish innocence that Brahma, he didn't know what to make of it. So he just made a simple test. He took away, he thought, the cowherd boys and calves. But a split second later, he changed his mind. Oh, I don't think I should do this. It's just like I decide. Maybe I'll be more comfortable if I move this leg under here. No. That's how quickly Brahma changed his mind. But that split second was a year of earth time. So instead of focusing on, I would recommend, instead of focusing on Brahma and the demigods, they saw the majesty of Krishna when he was within Devaki, and they offered those prayers, and how'd they suddenly forget? No, think another way, that the childhood pastimes are so sweet that they got bewildered. Indra, he admits his pride, his ego got the better of him. He said, this talkative boy who doesn't understand the cosmos, the cowherd men are listening to him? Mm-hmm. So his pride and ego affected him in such a way that he made a blunder. Now, one thing I wanted to discuss was Mother Yashoda's maternal pride. We need to understand, of course, that she's spotless. Yet she manifests pride and even false anger. She's also adding to that Damodar Leela her anger, just like Krishna's eyes are full of false tears and he's doing things out of anger. Mother Yashoda's getting into it also. Where is that boy when she's searching for him? Where is that boy? I'm going to show him a lesson. Hi, Shishi Radha Gopinath. And she's also manifesting pride, pure maternal pride. My boy is so great. My boy is so special. Anyway, where is he? Where is he? She has pride in how wonderful her son is. But that's not a material pride. And she's angry, showing anger in order to teach Krishna a lesson. You shouldn't behave like this. And Krishna's got false tears in his eyes because he's showing her, you shouldn't chase after me with a stick. So they're both just amplifying the pastime with their transcendental emotions. Anything else? Yes.
Thank you very much, Maharaj. We hear that Krishna's pastimes cannot be understood, but same time we try to understand it in so many different ways. So how do we reconcile this?
We hear from the acharyas and get our insights in that way. Because devotee means devotional service. Based on the strength of our devotional service, we get some insight. Service is our wealth, and service is our very means of perception and comprehension. This makes no sense on the material platform. But I ask you, what does make sense on the material platform? That's why some of the greatest in terms of being celebrated, Nobel Prize winning Western philosophers, have just concluded it's all absurd, so your main issue in life is should you commit suicide or not? Because everything is just absurd. In other words, there's no point to understanding things in material existence. So they say either, number one, you can kill yourself. Number two, just absorb yourself in one lust affair after another. Or number three, you can just face up to the futility and just put your heart into being a slave of the absurd. Those are your three options. That's it. Anything else?
Maharaj, you can have kirtan.
Kirtan.
Night kirtan, yeah. You can sing kirtan.
All right. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Rama Rama, Hare Hare.